Committee on Rules Administration will come to order. Today, we're going to deal with the Senate audit. Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, members, for many, many years, the Senate has been audited by private auditing firms. It predates to when I was elected to the Senate, which means that we started these audits sometime in the 70s or earlier than that. For many years, the auditor was Grant Thornton. They had been auditing the Senate for a decade or more. And I think it was in 2004, we thought it'd be good being we're a public entity to ask for a request for proposals to potentially hire a new auditor or to allow it out for competition again, which we did. In January of 2005, our audit subcommittee formally asked for a request for proposals to audit the Minnesota Senate. And on March 16th of 2005, the subcommittee decided on Burkle Krause to be the Senate auditor. And we have before us actually 3 years of audits now, I believe it is. And that's largely a result of the timing of doing the audits and then also our inability to find a mutually agreeable time to present the audits to the Rules Committee, which brings us to this meeting now. We have the auditors here, and they're prepared to present the audit to us. We have seen the audits before this. Obviously, we saw preliminary audits and the products before this. But.
Very good. So who is here from the audit firm? Please join us at the end there. Do you have some handouts?
Yes.
Handouts.
Pardon me.
No.
You got more handouts, or
there's just the two that are going around.
Okay, I guess we can get started.
Okay.
Welcome to the committee.
I'm Jim Murray with Virgil Krause and Company. I'm a partner in the public sector group, and responsible for overseeing the audit to the Senate. And Daryl DeCam, who's also with me, is a managing partner of our public sector group in the Minneapolis office. And Brandy Suda, who's also here, was one of the auditors that conducted field work and things. So if there's any specific questions, she's here to help answer questions if there are any. Is there a time limit as far as how much time you want me to take?
Yeah, 20 minutes.
I
don't know. Why don't you hit on the spots that there's some troubling, a few little troubling spots or anything like that? That I think the committee knows what the general parameters of the budget, the $19 million and what
right.
The money's going for and what, at least I do. I think most of the committee members do. I think you want to talk about the things that
within the management letter?
Within the management that we need improvements on or things we're not doing right and blah, blah, blah. Don't you, Senator Frederickson?
Mr. Chairman, I would concur with that.
I don't think we need to go through Senator Bach and Senator Olson. I just hit on the highlights of maybe or maybe their lowlights.
No, everything went
all right.
Very well. And as you know, we're covering 3 years' worth of audits. And in the one summary titled Minnesota Senate, there is just a summary of the, let's see how many pages in.
Oh, you know what you got to do next time? Number
put numbers on them. I just saw that.
Yep. You got to deduct $800 off the bill.
Be the ninth page in, I believe. There's a heading there, items affecting 2004 through 2006 audits. First line starts out SAS 99.
Which pit? Items affecting 204 to 206 audits?
Correct, yep. There's just a little summary here, and that's what I'll use to talk about the individual management letters that have been issued.
Okay. It's SAS 99.
That starts.
Page affecting.
Six up from the bottom. Yeah. So, and the reason I have that SAS 99 there is over the years with Enron and WorldCom, there's been new auditing standards. And your 2004 audit was the first year that we had to implement the fraud standard, it's called. And with every audit now, we have to interview people within the entity and ask questions directly on fraud or suspicions of fraud and that type of thing. And we've done that in all three of these audits, interviewed different people. I think we've sent questionnaires to a few of the senators and gotten responses back. And all the responses have said, you know, no one's aware of any fraud. But that is one new audit standard that is in effect that wasn't in effect when your other auditors were doing these audits. And management letter comments with the 2004 audit, you know, we had a point there on the expenditure carry forward account where we found $185,000 of expenditures charged against the beginning appropriations carry forward that did not meet the specified purposes. And Mr. Flyhaven has responded to each one of these comments in writing to us. And
Chairman, do we have those responses in here somewhere?
We do. There are one pagers here.
And that finding was corrected, and they are monitoring what gets charged into that carry-forward account. With the 2006 audit, there was some change to the rules on what you can charge to that account, and kind of opened up what could be used for the carry-forward items. So another item that we had in the 2004 audit following along there is voided check procedures. What we like to do when we do the audit, if there's a voided check, just to make sure that they haven't been cashed, we like to see that voided check, some evidence that the check was voided. And during this audit, the documentation couldn't be shown to us, and that also has been corrected now. They looked at their procedures and changed that. Another point that we had in there is cross-training of staff. And any time in an accounting department, it's good to have people cross-trained. Somebody knows accounts payable, two people know accounts payable or the payroll procedure. In case somebody leaves or is sick, there's somebody to fill in to handle those duties. And again, Pat looked at the cross-training of individuals and are working to that. And now in 2006, I believe there's one of the payroll people have left. So you're looking at hiring a new person, or maybe you've hired somebody already. But so.
In which we're in the process of trying to hire somebody.
Okay. But it's just good business practice to have cross-training of individuals in case somebody is sick or someone goes on vacation. Ideally, it's another internal control. If somebody goes on vacation, a second person comes in and does that person's duties. Second set of hot eyes looking over those transactions. And you know, it's just another fraud procedure, an internal control procedure. So those were the three items that we had in the 2004 audit. And we also looked at prior year comments from the auditors that had done the audit in the previous year, and then we follow up on those. And they had expenditure cutoff problems that they found, and that had been taken care of. Senator phone bills. There was a few bills that weren't evidenced by approval, and that had been taken care of. So those were the comments that we had on the 2004 audit. Moving into the 2005 audit, again, you're going to see some repeat here, and that's why I kind of summarized them on that one page. We did find a problem with voided check procedures, and that has been looked at. And there was a new procedure implemented by physical services staff, and the sergeant provided signatures confirming that they have witnessed the destruction of the checks now. So that shouldn't be a problem in the future, and it wasn't in the 06 audit. We repeated the comment about cross-training because we hadn't seen much progress being made there. And so those were the only two comments that we had with the 2005 audit. And then moving into 2006.
Mr. Chairman?
On the 2005, I would like to note that they specifically looked at our housing allowance, and this was the time period when there was, I believe it was a television station, was intensively looking at our housing allowance and where members were living and some associated things with that. So at my request, the auditor specifically included that in this audit, and you can see that they found no irregularities, right. I believe. I don't think I'm mischaracterizing.
Correct, yep. Then moving on to the 2006 management letter. Again, we repeat that cross-training, and like I said, it is important to look at that. Senator phone bills, we did find that a few phone bills were not approved again, and I guess because it was a very busy year, and senators weren't always in town. But according to your rules, you know, they should be signed off on. So we had to list it there.
So that's reimbursements were made without the senator's signature. Mr. Father, what was the situation?
Mr. Chairman, this relates to the statutory requirement that senators sign their long-distance phone bills each month and return them.
Bill from here.
And some years we've had a struggle with that, and some years we've had compliance. And the billing actually comes from Intertech, but this is the general provisions that was put in 1993 that senators should sign to say, yes, these charges are correct. And we do have almost total compliance, but there are always a few odds and ends, except for a couple of years we had total compliance. But it's been a struggle sometimes to get people to return the signed bills.
Is that a reasonable requirement, or should we do something different? Or is that one of those things that seems like it's doing something but it might not be?
Well, I was wondering if something happened back then that caused you to fire this.
Yes. You're onto something.
That was my guess.
The answer is yes. Does that seem, from an auditor's point of view, a reasonable thing to have senators sign those things, or does that seem kind of weird? Or?
Well, if there's been ongoing problems where phone bills, you know, have not been authorize somebody using their phone bill, or it's just a way of them checking to make sure all the phone charges are due to them. Practically, you know, if you're not having a problem with it, you know, maybe it isn't needed anymore. Because I think, Brandy, correct me if I'm wrong, it was just that the approval wasn't on those phone bills. It wasn't that we didn't find anything inappropriate on them.
Mr. Chairman, many of our telephones are open, essentially open to the public. You know, we have a lot of people around our offices, and like our office space over in the state office building generally is not locked up at night. It would not be too hard for somebody to come in and secret themselves in an office or in a corner and make long-distance telephone calls with our Watts lines. And one way to make sure that doesn't happen is to have senators look at the bills to see that they or their staff are actually made the calls and that they relate to Senate business. I think it avoids an exposure to inappropriate use of our systems.
Okay.
The other comment that we had in 06 was dealing with reconciliation between the Senate records and the Department of Finance. There's two separate accounting records kept, and there were some differences between the Senate records and those Department of Finance records. Those were corrected, and going forward now, Mr. Flahaven said reconciliation differences are being looked at, and the records are being kept up to date with the state system. And that wasn't a big problem. It's just if they're not reconciled, it could come to the end of the year, and you may think you have more carry-forward monies than you actually have, or vice versa. So it's important to be looking to make sure the two systems are in balance, so you don't have any surprises. But in the housing allowance in 06, we looked at housing allowance there, and as was mentioned, that or actually 05, we checked again in 06, and everybody met the requirement for that housing allowance. We didn't find any problems there in follow-up. So just one other thing. The other summary that I handed out with the numbers on it, it's just a financial summary of the last 3 years, 04, 05, 06. And just on the bottom, we show a change in fund balance through the 3 years. And if you look at 06, right towards the bottom, other financing uses transfers out. There was $1,750,000 transferred out of the carry forward account. I believe $1,250,000 went back to the general fund and $500,000 went to the revisers of statutes. So that's been taken away from your carry forward funds. And looking at the fund balance at the end of the year, $1,254,692, if you look up above, excess of revenues over expenditures, actually your expenditures exceeded revenues by $1,592,161. So if nothing changed and 07 proceeded with the same activity as 06, you'd use up that carry-forward money. But fiscal 07, the appropriation did jump to $20,654,000. So as long as expenditures are in line with what you're budgeting, you should be fine and maintaining. I would imagine you're trying to maintain that carry-forward balance just for a rainy day. But so that's one thing I would, and I'm sure you are well aware of it, and something to watch. Is the majority of your budget are salary and wages, so you don't have a lot of wiggle room there as far as cutting back on expenditures other than looking at the salary and wage accounts. But
Mr. Chairman, where did you say the transfers went out of that carry forward? The revisor's statute?
For $500,000,
and the other was
back to the general fund, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was a cut for us in that fiscal year budget problems.
Robin, why don't you elaborate on that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, at that point, cuts were being made in the budgets of all the state agencies, and we turned back the $1,250,000. That was the Senate's portion of the cut for that period of time. And then another transfer was made to the revisor's office to help pay for the new computer system. While I'm speaking, maybe I could address the issue that they raise each year, and that is the cross-training and the transition planning. That's been a continuing problem for us because of turnover in the office. Currently, on the accounts payable side, the accounts payable assistant could perform the duties of the federal supervisor in an emergency. On the payroll side, we were in the process of training the assistant who recently left, and so we're back in that cycle of finding somebody and training them again. So that's been a continuing problem for us.
So those were the highlights. Something I did want to bring up, too, I think we had sent Mr. Flahaven a letter telling him about the two new audit standards that will hit with us next year, SAS 103 and SAS 112. And then the year following that, there's a whole suite of eight new SAS as a statement on auditing standards. Again, it's all trickled down from what happened with Enron and other frauds, that the accounting profession is, we do our best to try and find fraud, and these new standards are trying to make us do more work to look for fraud. I mean, it is a difficult thing to find, but SAS 103 deals with material weaknesses in the accounting system. And under the old rules, if we prepared the financial statements for you, that wasn't considered a material weakness. Under the new rules, they're saying, hey, if they can't prepare their own financial statements as well as the footnotes and everything, how can you say they have a completely functioning internal control system and an understanding of the rules that apply to generally accepted accounting principles and things? In reality, 90% of our clients aren't going to be able to comply with that rule. They don't have CPAs on staff and things to do that. So what it means is, in the management letter comment, very well could be a point in there saying there is a material weakness because the Minnesota Senate hasn't prepared its own financial statements. But we can also look at if they have the people on board that could prepare them, and you're just hiring us, in essence, as a service to put those financial statements together, then we may not have to have that as a disclosure. So that's something we'll discuss with you for next year. The other standard deals with dating of our audit opinion. It used to be when we get done with field work, that would be the date that'd be on the opinion, and we weren't responsible for any events after that date. Now the new rule says we're responsible until we're ready to issue the report. And what that means is if, generally it takes minimum of 2 weeks to finish up an audit. Sometimes it can take 2 or 3 months before we get everything we need to finish that audit up. So the audit opinion date will be later. Then what that means is we have to look at if there's an attorney involved, where we have to get disclosures from him. We may have to do other inquiries of that attorney. If the audit is real close to year end, we may have to either have you send us printouts of receipts, disbursements, and just look through for material items to make sure we haven't missed anything that should have been booked as a liability as of the audit, or as the fiscal year end date. So those are a couple of the changes that will happen next year. Then the following year, this suite of eight, it's a whole new risk-based standard. And again, we'll provide you with information on this. But currently with an audit, as long as we understand the internal control processes in place, like for your audit, being that it's done under government audit standards, we've always had to look at internal controls. So we have a memo in your file describing the different controls, the duties that each of the staff people are doing, and we look at, see if there's a cross-check, two eyes looking at a transaction and things. With this new standard, there may have to be more documentation, more detail on what the people are doing. You know, formal, we might have to look at formal job descriptions and things. You know, our firm is still looking at putting materials that we'll get out to clients, so you'll have plenty of time to meet the new requirements, because if that's not done, that's another material weakness that we have to point out. You know, 90% of the audits, it probably won't really affect anything that we've done in the past, because a smaller client, they don't have a complete segregation of duties, and that's not going to go away. So, but with the new standards, we're still going to have to comply with all the documentation and things. So audits going forward, we may be asking for other information that we've not asked for before. But
Mr. Chairman, from what Jim is describing, I don't see a problem with that. We already have to prepare financial statements in effect when we do for the year, and what we present to the Rules Committee or to the Finance Department essentially would be the financial statements. We have to look at that.
Together.
And then as far as providing documentation for after year end, that's pretty well laid out in what we keep and what the Department of Finance keeps. So I don't see as that as really being a big problem for us.
The other thing to keep in mind, too, they also address material journal entries. If we make any material journal entries, that we have to point that out as a material weakness. So there's some clients that, you know, they just get in the habit that, well, the auditors always make those entries. And it's not been a problem in the past. Well, now, if we have to make those entries, we have to point that out, that they haven't been made. And again, we'll provide information, so you're not going to be surprised as far as what the new rules are.
Oh, I just was going to comment if we're getting close to, in my other life, I see a lot of these audits. And this is probably as clean of an audit as I looked at for a couple of years. And would you agree with that?
Yes.
So it does look very good, Senator Pogrebnoy.
What are the reconciliation differences? Characterize one of those for us?
Maybe I can ask Brandy to help with that.
Regarding in the management letter?
In the last prior year comment for 06.
With the Department of Finance records.
Have to do with carry forward monies. If they've been resolved, I'm just curious what the type of thing we're talking about there. Let me just ask, is there anything here that you would like to point out to us as something for special concern by the members of the committee, or even as Senator Metzen says, it's pretty straightforward to clean on it?
Yes, yeah. And those differences have been taken care of, and I don't think it's going to be a problem in the future. So,
any suggestions from the audit firm on things we should be doing as a policy matter or as a funding matter in terms of our internal operations that you noticed while you were doing your audit?
No, other than, you know, just be careful with that carry forward balance. If that gets whittled away, you're forced with either trying to increase that appropriation or cutting your expenses.
What kind of money should we be having in the carry forward? Are you in a position to give us some advice on that or not necessarily?
I don't think I have enough experience, maybe,
okay.
Mr.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Could I answer the question as far as the audit adjustments? Eileen Munzer, Fiscal Services, for the record. The adjustments to the accrued payroll, sometimes, members, we have a payroll that doesn't happen until July, but in fact, our employees were working into June, but the payroll itself is until July, so that was one of them. Adjustments to accrued payroll, that was like $382,000. So technically, it's the end of a fiscal year, but we're paying in that new fiscal year for services rendered by employees that happened in June.
So that was one of the reconciliation issues?
Right. Okay. The other one, Senator, was for Associated Press. We paid the vendor because we were saving money, and it really went to three fiscal years. It went back one fiscal year and two ahead. So we paid it when we received the invoice, saving the Senate money. But hindsight, we should have maybe put it in those three fiscal years.
What do we pay the Associated Press
for? The Associated Press was... I did make good notes, didn't I? The adjustment was $188,266. And what we're doing, it's a subscription service that we receive, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I can maybe explain that a little bit. It was a subscription service for Minnesota News that both caucuses wanted, and it was charged by the year. And by taking a three-year, by signing a three-year agreement, we got a reduction in the overall cost that was substantial. And staff people from each caucus could access online the AP news stories for Minnesota specifically, be the type of thing that a newspaper would access. And I don't know that we want to exercise that again. I think it was to carry us through 2006 or the 2007 session, at which time we would review it and see if we wanted to continue it.
And what's creating those differences is your statements are presented on the GAAP basic generally accepted accounting principles. So as the payroll is being paid, it's paid on the cash basis. And to keep you in conformance with GAAP, we have to record that expenditure when it's been earned. So the payroll had been earned by June 30th, but it wasn't paid until July. So we're bringing that back and recording it as an expenditure. So,
any other questions by members? Anybody on the staff want to raise an issue or a thought or a concern after any review of the audits?
I was very pleased with that.
Mr. Watson, can
you review it? I
agree. Senator Fredrickson, anything you want to add?
No, Mr. Chairman. I would move acceptance of the audits for on dated June 30th for 2004, 2005, and 2006.
That's the front view on that site.
Okay. Fredrickson, motion. All in favor say
aye.
Aye. All opposed. Motion adopted. We're all caught up, Senator Fredrickson?
Mr. Chairman,
when do we get the next one?
Not till a year from now. Or sooner, I...
What month? I want to anticipate.
Well, field work is when, Brandy?
Can't wait to anticipate it.
Depends if the resolution on the Senate floor passes tomorrow.
All right, I think we've covered. Thank you to I did want to ask. This is I'm not in the accounting business, but who actually gets to sign
the opinion?
Burchell, Krause and Company LLP. I mean, it's kind of like somebody gets to sign that.
Yeah, that would either be myself or Daryl. The partner of the firm has to sign it.
Why wouldn't you, just a curiosity, why don't you sign your own name on behalf of the company or something?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Our attorneys have said we can't.
So is that something about putting the whole company on the line versus just...
I think so, because we used to, with our engagement letters, we used to have our personal name on the bottom of that as we signed, and they recommended we just sign it Burchell, Krause and Company.
Wow.
Yeah. But,
does that feel kind of powerful when you do that, or do you kind of go...
Well, our managing partner of the whole firm says be careful when you're signing those things.
How big is your firm?
Well, we're 15th largest in the country now. I've been with them since 1983, and there were about 300 people at that time, and now there's about 1,500 employees. So... Madison, Wisconsin is the headquarters, but Minneapolis office is over by 494 in France, Xerxes Avenue.
Is And there's about office in the Madison one, I hope.
it's I think they're neck and neck as far as number of people in the building.
Pay all your taxes.
All right.
So was this to show how open-minded we are that we're having a Badger company come in
the Perhaps, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for doing this. And I'll ask after. Meeting adjourned.